Many soccer-loving P1s will tell you, sometimes it's kind of hard to find the gear from their favorite club. But in North Texas, Soccer 90 has the largest collection of jerseys, hats, apparel, anything your little soccer heart desires. Premier League, Bundesliga, all the MLS teams, no matter who you cheer for, you'll find it at Soccer 90. In Frisco, at Toyota Stadium, next door to the National Soccer Hall of Fame. Or shop online at soccer90.com. Soccer 90. Love it. Live it, wear it.
It's time for the Kick Around, the Ticket's weekly show all about soccer. 2 hours of HSOs on the clubs, leagues, and tournaments of the world's game. It doesn't matter if you're new to the sport, don't worry. This is the Ticket. We're just kicking it around. Now, here's two guys hoping for short shorts to come back in style. Andy Swift and Peter Welpton.
Line track to busy. And they're now on the front foot with Bore. And Bore's got support, but he wants the glory for himself. Oh, what a goal! What a wonderful strike from Rafael Bore! It's a stunner! And Eintracht Frankfurt march into a 2-0 first half lead in this second leg. 3-1 on aggregate now.
Oh, man, well, those were good scenes. Hidey-ho, P1s, and welcome to today's Kick Around. Now, normally we're on Saturdays 2 to 4, but today we are filling in for the Soroy brothers, and more about that here in a second. Don't forget, you can find us on our website, thekickaround.com, where you, the good P1, sits around, talks a little bit of soccer, and all that implies. Hi, it is me, Peter, and right here at this picnic table, at this beautiful spot, amongst all these golfers, is noted soccer expert, Andy Swift.
Peter Welpton, how are you, my friend?
I'm good, Andy. I'm good. Put that a little. There you go. Let's get that. Let's get you. There you go, buddy.
Thank you for helping me radio.
No, that's what I do.
What a day of soccer,
yes,
my friend.
Now, I know there's probably lots of question marks and pounding of the dashboard and looking at your phones and your app going, wait a second, did I fast forward 2 hours ahead or something? No, the Soroy brothers, if you don't follow them on social media, are currently in the beautiful country of Italy. Have you been watching their travails?
I haven't been following closely, but I cannot wait to hear the stories when we mix again.
Yeah, I think they are both there for quite a, like, 2 full weeks,
yeah,
maybe longer than that.
Time.
And
they
Andy,
may retire there.
You and I have both been to that beautiful country. We have eaten that amazing food. We have been to football there.
Mm, indeed.
And it is the best, and I'm very, very jealous. I also admire them for taking time from their vacation to listen to the April Fool's Open. Did you see that video?
I did.
Of
yes.
them sitting around their Alexa they took with them.
That's dedication.
That is. You got to love the Soroys for that. So, yes, it is the Kick Around sitting in for Cirque du Soroy, and we are on location at the Korn Ferry Tour Veritex Bank Championship at this amazing place, the Texas Rangers Golf Club here in Arlington, smack dab in the middle of the Metroplex. Now, I didn't know this because I would think this is a great idea that every Major League Baseball host city should have. Did you know this is the only MLB-branded golf course in existence? I would think somewhere outside of Manhattan, there'd be a New York Yankees golf course. That just makes sense to me.
It makes all kinds of sense, especially considering how close we are and, you know, the two facilities are so close.
So the Korn Ferry Tour is happening here, and if you were listening to the Hardline yesterday, you heard all the stories about how great this tournament is, how Scottie Scheffler won this tournament most recently, and obviously that took him to great things. And so we are here all day today out here at Texas Rangers Golf Club, which, by the way, if you're into baseball and you want to mix that with your golf, they've got a whole memorabilia section of the clubhouse you should check out. And it's brought to you by Veritex Bank, which is a community bank, which has now more than 40 locations in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex and Houston. Personal banking, commercial banking, business banking, all of it. They are the sponsors of the 2022 Masters Champion and Dallas native Scottie Scheffler. So Veritex Bank. Thanks for having us out here at the Korn Ferry Tour.
And I'm enjoying being in Arlington, old stomping grounds. Of course, I lived in Arlington, went to Martin High.
Okay, wait a second. I want to trace this. So, are you the human being, the one human being in the world that went from somewhere Brazil to Arlington, Texas?
Yes, right. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Your family's the one family that made that transplant.
I grew up in 7 or 8 countries, and my dad worked in the oil business. We were transferred to the U.S. The first time we were transferred was Corpus and Oklahoma City. We transferred back out to Latin America and then got transferred back to Fort Worth, and we lived in Arlington.
Okay, but what city in Brazil were you living in when you left to come back to Arlington?
Salvador, Brazil.
Salvador, Brazil to Arlington, Texas.
Yes, right.
That's
pretty
cool.
Drastic
that
change,
is pretty
yes.
cool.
And similar in many ways, too.
All right, so we do have all kinds of stuff happening on the Kick Around, brought to you by Soccer 90 today. Andy, I feel like we should talk about what I am now calling the Fruitcake Cup, which is fourth place in the Premier League.
The because trophy nobody wants.
It's the thing nobody wants. Somebody's going to get it, and they're going to resent having it, clearly.
Why? It's millions of dollars.
We had, and Andy and I tell everybody this every year, the quarterfinals of the Champions League is the best. And
did we not nail it?
We were right again. We've been right for like a billion years, and we were right again, so we'll talk about that. Buzz Carrick from ThirdDegree.net will be joining us to talk about a pretty cool little thing happening up in Frisco with FC Dallas. If you've not been paying attention, something cool and good is going on there. And because we're broadcasting at the exact same time the Dallas Mavericks are playing a basketball game, we will be broadcasting until the end of that game, and then the Mavs postgame show begins. Yeah. I think it's Monty and Mino.
We hand it off.
We will hand it off to them. Now, if that game goes long, like past 2:30 or so,
Anita Andy, Round. Excellent.
Andy
Cooking
and I
show.
Have no content, so we might cooking even show. Take phone calls.
You'll do that
later.
Before you go to a cooking show. All right.
No, we can. Yeah. Do you have a cooking segment prepared?
I'll come up with something.
Okay.
Maybe I'll interact with the callers.
Hello back in the studio to Sam and EA in the control room. We didn't see you, but I just want to acknowledge you.
We are feel very acknowledged right now.
Okay.
Hi.
Very good. Hello, everybody. All right. So, Andy, I think we need to start the show off today. The big game of the day is
never get to
kind
it.
Of a weird 6 day after the fact repeat of the big game 6 days ago.
Yeah.
Manchester City and Liverpool. It was the semifinals of the FA Cup at Wembley Stadium. Do you want to talk about that first before we talk about last week?
Let's just get that one out of the way because it was played today.
Liverpool did win the semifinal of the FA Cup today, 3-2 over Man City.
They were up 3-0 at halftime.
A weakened, injured, vulnerable Manchester City.
I don't care. You know why? Because your depth, the way you rotate your squad, the way you treat your injuries, the way you give guys time off, it all plays into this. And this grinding schedule both teams have. So credit to Liverpool and Klopp for having a full squad today.
Not
when
Simeone
they
and Atletico Madrid for kicking the crap out of them?
No, you're going to – oh, like Liverpool goes unscathed game to game. Come on. You know what I'm saying,
Benfica
though.
Treated them with like pillows.
Credit to Liverpool and to Klopp for rotating appropriately and having the squad he needed to have today to spank Man City.
Now,
barely spank.
Okay. We were on assignment. We were driving out here. You were watching the FA Cup game. I was watching, oh, my God, I don't even want to talk about it, the Manchester United-Norwich game. You really want to call it that? It didn't feel like
we'll
that.
Get to it.
Anyway, we'll get to that. Why don't you tell everybody what happened in the FA Cup game between City and Liverpool?
Well, Liverpool saw the opportunity they had in front of them, right, with a weakened City squad, and they come out guns a-blazing.
So, hold on. So, Kevin De Bruyne is injured. He's got some sort of laceration on his ankle.
Yeah, he could have played, but, he was on the bench.
Kyle Walker clearly
he wasn't
is injured.
Even, I don't think, in the 18.
I don't think he was either. And Zach Steffen, America's Zach Steffen, gets the start and goal.
That wasn't injury-related. You know, he'll play FA Cup games. He played last year.
Never again.
He played last year's semifinal. Remember that? How can we forget? Because
right.
he had a little bit of a howler last year. And, well, once again this year, he was victim of the intense press that Klopp likes to sting on his enemies.
No, he was the victim of classic Zach Steffen nonchalant, I'm too cool to be busy and hurried style of play. That makes me nuts when he plays for the national team.
I know, you always harp on that. It's particularly, galling when he does it against a team like Liverpool, because Liverpool will make you pay. You can't do it. So the worry now from the U.S. national team perspective, if this is your number one and you go into the World Cup, which the competition is going to be at a different level, right?
I said this 2 weeks ago. There are two main problems with the national team. 1A is probably the number nine position, and 1B is goalkeeper.
I know,
somehow
which is
goalkeeper.
Nuts.
Because Turner's not going to be starting for Arsenal. Stefan is that. And then Horvath, which apparently had a howler himself today for Nottingham Forest.
The longtime strength of the U.S. national team has been.
All right. I want to get back to City and Arsenal.
Okay. Well, but he was a big story. And you could say, you know, you could argue that the other two Liverpool goals, Stefan could have done better.
Really?
You know, coming out on a cross. I don't think it was a corner. I think it was just a cross. Might have been a corner. I don't remember now. And then the third goal, which was a beautiful strike by Mane, that, you know, he just didn't have the near post covered well enough. And so, you know, look, I don't know. And I don't know if he'll stay there because Pep, this is not what Pep likes, right? He needs keepers that know how to play out of the back with their feet. He does, but he can't be the way he does it. So Liverpool was impressive today in that, I mean, the two goals they gave up in the second half notwithstanding, they just, their press was so good today, and City had trouble.
So what were the differences between their 3-1 win today and the 2-2 draw a week ago in the Premier League? In the big game, we've been waiting for that game for months, it feels like, and it finally happened. And by the way, it lived up to all.
Yeah, time. And it ended up being an even game. Liverpool got off to a really poor start in that game. It almost like jitters and nerves, and they just weren't sharp.
I want to re-ask my question because in that game last Sunday, Liverpool's defense looked completely wonky.
Yeah.
And there were stretches of time where I was convinced City was just going to put that game away very quickly.
Yeah.
And I couldn't quite figure out why Liverpool's defense looked so weird and so out of sorts. So what changes today?
So a couple of things. I think one is related to Liverpool just not playing well. You know, you can always give credit to the other team for doing their job, making you not play well. But part of it was on Liverpool. And the second part of that is that City was at full strength. They played out of the back. Liverpool just didn't press effectively enough. In that other game, and I think City handled the way Liverpool plays a lot better than they did today, because today they were a little bit shorthanded, and I think that kind of played into it. And just Liverpool was a different team today. They were more full of energy, they were sharp, and the press was really, really good today. I mean, I think City had trouble with that.
Okay, so I want to ask you this very important question, Andy. Is it possible, is it likely that Liverpool is about to produce the never-before-done quadruple?
It's possible.
Premier League, Champions League,
yes.
FA Cup.
Yes.
And what's the fourth one you've already won?
The Shield.
The League Cup?
Yeah, whatever it's called.
Did you win the League Cup or did you win the Charity Shield?
Charity Shield.
Oh, you may win. You still in for the League Cup?
I don't know. That doesn't count. It's the four
League Cup counts more than the Charity Shield.
Yeah, no.
The Charity Shield means nothing. It's an exhibition game at the beginning of the season.
No, the League's Cup is what we won.
The Carabao Cup.
Yeah, right. Yes, that's what we won.
Okay.
Yeah,
thank you.
I had him confused.
Okay.
I thought the Charity.
No,
right.
Charity,
that's the one where the two winners.
Yeah.
Play. Right.
Okay,
right. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. No. Yes. Of course, we have a chance. But is it likely? No, it's not likely because it's hard, and we still have to catch City because of the draw. City stayed a point ahead with like eight fixtures left. Seven fixtures.
Something
left.
Like that.
So
yeah.
It's hard. So they have to drop points, and Liverpool has to keep winning all their matches. So that's going to be hard. Both advanced to the semis, and both could likely meet in the final. So we could have a Champions League final with City playing Liverpool. We've had the FA Cup semifinal. They're both vying for the top spot in the Premier League. And these two teams, I think you could argue, are the top two teams in the world
right
now, and they're vying for all the titles, and
so
they make each other better.
As a hardcore Liverpool fan, I want to ask you your opinion on the much-discussed topic after last Sunday's game, which is it does appear like the thing missing from Liverpool and City
is the hate.
Is the hate. Like, you guys appear to like each other way too much. There's too much glad-handing and hugging and, hey.
I think there's a lot of respect. You know, Pep and Klopp really respect each other. I don't know if the players like each other on the field, right? I mean, you saw a little bit, some scuffles
there's
today.
There's too much helping each other off the ground and stuff. There's not enough.
There's a lot of respect for each other. You don't want to piss the other team off either, right? Because they could just go on a crazy run. Oh, wait, both teams are on a crazy run. But I think we need to point this out, too. I don't know if in just recent times we've seen, and both teams have had similar schedule, where they have to play, let's just take City. They've had to play Liverpool twice. They've had to play Atletico Madrid twice. And now they're going to have to play Real Madrid twice in a span of less than a month or so.
Right.
I mean, that is an insane schedule. Liverpool the same. City twice and four Champions League matches on their own. I think City's schedule is probably a little tougher because of their Champions League opponents. But it's insane, and they're coming away with the points. And so then that's why my point about today Liverpool being at full strength and City not, I think part of the credit goes to the teams themselves for doing what they need to do to put themselves – luck is involved, obviously, but you have to put yourselves in those situations as well. And I think Klopp, there's very few that work that as well as Klopp. The psychological part, the physical part, and how smart he is about rotating and what they do – off the field to make this the most optimal team it can be.
Do you think Stefan ends up in a trash bin in downtown London,
man,
never to be seen again after today?
City supporters cannot be happy with him now, especially 2 years in a row.
All right, so City did lose to Liverpool in the FA Cup semifinal today, 3-2. Chelsea against, actually, Crystal Palace happens tomorrow. The interesting note in that is the reality that Conor Gallagher, who has been so good for Palace, is ineligible for this game because he's owned by Chelsea, and the rules stipulate, or at least the pre-agreement, that you can't play against your other team for a whole host of reasons.
Well,
so he will miss that game tomorrow.
Is that a hard, like a black and white rule, or can both teams agree?
I think, if I understand it correctly, I don't think it's ever done because there's too much likelihood that a guy, you could say, well, he missed that pass on purpose because he's owned by this other club. I think there's a world where you could make an agreement in advance.
I thought it was a black and white
rule. It may be.
Yeah.
So he will not be available for Palace tomorrow. That game kicks off at 10:30, Crystal Palace and Chelsea. So whoever wins that will face Liverpool in the FA Cup final. And over in the Premier League, after last Sunday, City remains on top by a single point, 31 games in, just 7 games left. They are 1 point behind, 74-73 points. It is quite the duel.
Yeah. Liverpool
those
has,
two.
Yeah, they have the goal difference, but it probably will not end up even on points. One or the other, like City might lose a game or draw a game, and then Liverpool will win a game. That, you know, that's the only hope for Liverpool.
All right, when we come back, we've got a couple of Premier League headlines that took place this week. The most shocking of all the shocky news. We'll discuss that next here on The Kick Around. We will discuss and update the status of the now infamous Fruitcake Cup. And if you don't know what that means, think about it
for
a second.
Yeah,
I should. We'll talk about that. Hey, it's the Kick Around live here during the Cirque du Soleil segment. They are out in Italy gallivanting around, eating lots of food and having a splendid time. And Andy and I are extremely jealous of those guys. We are actually on location at the Korn Ferry Tour Veritex Bank Championship out here at the Texas Rangers Golf Club. Veritex Community Bank has 40 locations around Dallas, Fort Worth, and Houston. They've chosen to bank in Houston, believe it or not. They have all your personal banking, commercial and business banking. And don't forget, they're actually the sponsor of the current Masters champion and Dallas native Scotty Scheffler. So thanks to Veritex Bank for having us out here at this amazing golf course, the Texas Rangers Golf Club. All right, Andy, we will talk about the Fruitcake Cup here in just a minute. I can't wait to see that trophy. As you can tell, I'm quite proud.
I hope your team wins it. I hope your team loses the Fruitcake Cup. I hope your team doesn't win it, actually.
We will talk about that. But the first thing we should get into, I couldn't believe when I woke up yesterday morning, because I'm sure anybody that has any inkling of my personality probably assumes that I wake up and I immediately open the Twitter and start assessing what's going on. It's right there on the bedside. It comes off the wireless charger. There it goes. And I'm reading the Twitter, trying to figure out what has happened while I was sleeping. Yeah. And lo and behold, Burnley finally pulled the trigger. The trigger I never imagined.
So
they fired Sean Dyche.
Yeah, so you said two things there. You never imagined they would, and finally. So were you thinking they should have, or are you in the camp that they shouldn't have? Because you can go both ways with this situation. Right?
There's kind of a secondary item of concern, which is why did they wait till Friday? They've got a huge game coming tomorrow.
Right?
Yeah. Like, if you were mad that they lost to Norwich last week, which you should have been, why didn't you fire him on Sunday or Monday or whatever day that next day was?
Maybe the board had to talk and they just needed days to get to it. But independent of that, let's look at the big picture. And let's explain what he has done with Burnley. He's been there 10 years. And for the
He got him promoted. Yeah. He brought him back into the Premier League.
6 years in the Premier League. And you know they spend the least amount of money that any other Premier League club does.
Oh yeah, and
he's kept them up for 6 years. So that is that's automatic success, right? I mean that so now they're not going to stay, right? It looks like they're going down, right?
Yeah.
I mean and so you get
good.
So is he a victim of his own success? Or, you know, should he be praised for having done what he's done? But there's something to be said about somebody being with the same club for so long, even if he's doing well. Clubs need new energy. And 10 years is a long, long time. Look, the best managers in the world, Pep and Klopp, say the same thing. They're hesitant to keep going at City and Liverpool both for too long because managers run out of whatever made them successful to begin with at that same club. Players stop listening. You're just not as effective as a communicator. Your ideas get stale, and then you have to move on to a different club. And maybe this
is
what's happening.
Well, I think they've got 8 games left because they got behind due to all the COVID suspensions or postponements of games. It just feels like a weird late time. And this is always one of these weird instances where a club has gotten further along than they ever have in their history, and it's always tied to a particular guy. And I'm thinking of Bournemouth and Eddie Howe, Leeds and Bielsa. Mm-hmm. And this is probably the most classic one, which is Sean Dyche really... You know, I thought the NBC studio crew made a really interesting point today, which was, who are they going to bring in to replace him? Because normally, in this instance, okay, you bring in a manager like Pulis or Allardyce to make your team more defensive. Well, that's what he did. They're a defensive team.
Yeah, right. But I don't know if the point is so much like now who do you bring in? And the point is, you know what? Things are stale. The locker room's not what it was, and we need to make a change.
Maybe. But I also think, you know, there are a lot of rumors and indication that maybe he had a massive fallout late in the week with the front office, that there was something else going on.
Yeah.
And they finally said, all right,
Give me more money to buy players.
Well, it's too, like, they can't do that right now. But
yeah,
maybe something else happened.
Yeah.
There was a triggering thing, because you don't fire a guy 2 days before a critical game this.
No, and the other thing to think about that as well is if they do get relegated, that's not a bad manager to have when you're trying to get back up, right?
Well, it does make me wonder, who is there a team in the Premier League that will hire him for next season? I mean, I think there's 100 teams in the championship or
right,
League
yeah.
Two that would
right.
take him in a nanosecond.
Yeah, Watford, because they always fire and hire.
But would any of these teams that are getting promoted? No, because they're probably going to want to keep the guy that they've got. By the way, if you're not paying attention to what's going on in the championship, that is going to be the most awesome next couple of weeks of play.
We should dedicate a segment to it in a future show.
Well, you know what we'll do? Lars Siverston, who normally joins us on Saturdays, couldn't today because... Mm-hmm. Our buddy is on a bit of a soccer jaunt. Yesterday, he was at Luton. He was at the Luton Town game. He was at the Spurs game.
Yeah. Spurs, his team. Luton, did you tell him we have a buddy?
I've told him about that. Okay. He thinks that's really weird that we actually know somebody living here who is from Luton. He thinks that's really strange.
Yeah.
So Lars has been on a bit of jaunting around and attending matches, so we'll find out more about that and his insight. But that was really the big word. I mean, the big news this week, that lots going on. Burnley firing Sam Dyche is just,
final call for you. Are you on board with the move or not?
I think the timing's terrible.
But you're okay with them making a change?
I'm fine with them making a change. I just think waiting this long into the season and then waiting until Friday before really one of the biggest games.
That was very odd.
That to me makes no sense. I mean, you know, they play West Ham tomorrow, and West Ham needs points, right?
Your captain is one of the assistant coaches now.
Yeah, that game is at 8:15 on the Peacock. Now, the other news is tied to Chelsea, and Chelsea has their FA Cup game tomorrow against Crystal Palace. There are 4 different offers on the table, or there were, and the deadline for those bids, I think, was Thursday. On Friday, we found out that the Ricketts deal decided to withdraw it, and they're running this under some idea that something between all the different parties that were making this bid fell apart. But the real reality is that something tied to somebody in the Ricketts family having a racist pash, saying some awful racist things on the interweb or in public, caught up to them, and the Chelsea fans weren't real excited about having those guys.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing is that they were considered by the banks and by all the people that looked at the finances as the group that would win the bid from a financial perspective. They were considered the best bid. But the supporters.
Yeah, the supporters caught, I mean, it's kind of a cancel culture moment because the supporters caught wind of this thing that happened a while ago.
With the dad.
And the dad isn't necessarily specifically tied to the bid. The son is.
Yeah.
And the son has brought in a lot of money from, like, people even richer than Abramovich.
Yes.
And, man, they were saying all the right things, like all the things you loved about how this club has been run for the last 20 years. We're going to keep that going.
Right.
But the fans were really adamantly against having dad as a part of this.
And they had a town hall meeting. The owners, the prospective owners, met with the supporters and they tried to talk it out and they did not do what they didn't say the things they needed to say, or the supporters were having none of it, and they just finally said, you know what, it's too much of a headache, and they just moved along.
Yeah. And so there are
the
three groups that are still in.
I think it's the Dodgers. I don't remember his name, but the Dodgers owner. I think they,
Dodger Dog? Is that his name?
That's not his name, but
shouldn't it be, though? If you own the Dodgers, wouldn't you change your name Dodger Dog?
Maybe that's what they call you when they see you coming. Oh, there comes Dodger Dog. But they don't tell you that in your face.
He's the owner. You met me.
So anyway, I don't know of many other countries where something like that would happen, where the supporters have such an influence on what a team ultimately does or doesn't do, right?
Yeah, we've never seen anything like this in all the years we've been following this sport. I can't think of anything close to this in terms of the insanity of the story of Chelsea and tied to a war. And I mean, it's just so weird, and it gets weirder all the time, especially when you read stories that, like, he's trying to help negotiate broker a peace deal, and then gets poisoned, and his skin's falling off. It's just so weird.
We're going to have to really recap this last year for Chelsea. Now, they're not in trouble. They're not going to drop out of the top four, even though this might be affecting their performances, and they're dropping some points.
And then
because nobody else wants those spots.
And we will talk about Chelsea and their Champions League quarterfinal matchup. That was an amazing story to tell, so we'll do all that. But when we come back, we will discuss in detail the status of the Fruitcake Cup, and we'll do that next here on the Kick Around. Welcome back to the Not Cirque du Soleil Show. It is the Kick Around. I'm Peter. He's Andy. Those guys are goofing off in Italy, so we're filling in. And we are live at the Korn Ferry Tour Veritex Bank Championship out here at the Texas Rangers Golf Club in Arlington. And we will be here till the end of the Mavericks game. So, you know, if you hate soccer talk, you better hope they don't go to OT. That's my advice to you. Andy, we've talked a little bit about Man City and Liverpool. It's starting to get windy, and I'm worried everything's going to blow off the table.
Feels very England.
It does feel, and it sounds windy. But anyway.
We talked about the Chelsea situation, too.
Yes.
So we got a tweet from Jonesy.
Hey, Jonesy!
Great P1.
Love you, Jonesy.
And P1 of the show. And he says the Ricketts really pulled out because of internal partner issues. And there may be some truth to that. And it's certainly publicly what they've said. And if it would have been because of fan opposition, they would have pulled out weeks ago. But the truth is that the fan opposition did play a part. And they've had to think through things.
Yeah.
And so you add it all together, and the fan opposition did play a part. I think it's certainly a factor.
Yeah, and it just seems a little convenient that some sort of internal strife between the bidding partners is the reason why you back out literally at the last, actually past the deadline. I don't know, whatever. I don't really makes too much difference, but whatever. What I do want to move on to is the reality that every week for the last, I don't know, 5 weeks or so since the last international break, it feels like we get to the show and we go, oh, fourth place, that's totally going to be Team X. I mean, look at their schedule. Look at the form they're in. They've totally got it. Those other teams are sucking.
And for a while, it was Arsenal because they had the games in hand.
No, it started with Man U and West Ham were kind of in that position in fourth. And then, so the four players are West Ham, Manchester United, Arsenal, and Spurs.
Right.
And Spurs had a bunch of games in hand down at the bottom, and Conte was having trouble, and then United kind of started to put some, I even said, they're in for fourth.
There was a two-week period when it was firmly Arsenal, and there was no doubt it was going to be Arsenal because they had four games in hand over the team that had played the most games.
Yeah.
But those games in hand, A, you have to play them and win them. And their games in hand, those they have to make up, are against tough opposition. They haven't even played those games. They can't even beat those games not in hand. So they're back in the mix now, along with everybody else.
Yeah, so it feels like every week it was United one week, and then it was Arsenal, and then it was most currently Spurs. And then this, and well, at one point it was also West Ham, and then West Ham kind of fell off, and then United fell off, and then Arsenal went into a tailspin, and now Spurs were like, well, they got games in hand, they're playing really well under Conte, and then they blow this one today, unbelievably. They lose today against Brighton at home, and in the process, fail to put a shot on goal.
How does that happen? How does that happen?
Everybody's like, man, they just look leggy and they didn't look like they were up for it, and you just wonder. I mean, and I've officially called it the Fruitcake Cup. Fourth place is the Fruitcake Cup because it's the award that nobody wants. Somebody's going to get it and they're going to wish they didn't get it.
And just for clarity, it's worth millions and millions of dollars.
It's a Champions League spot.
Right, exactly.
And in the case of United, is really critical to what happens to that team because they're trying to hire a new coach and sign big-name players.
Right. It affects the transfers, too, because if you're playing in Champions League, players want to play.
So Spurs did not look good today. I don't know.
Can't blame it on tired legs, can you?
No, but, you know, Brighton is a tough team to play. And, you know, Graham Potter's a guy that I hope someday gets a chance at one of these bigger clubs. Trossard's goal to win the game in the 90th minute, by the way, did you see it? Have you seen the goal to win the game?
Yes.
Okay. So he starts that play. He finishes that play.
Yeah.
You know, not like Brighton's a team that's banging in goals left and right. Them losing today was pretty hard on Spurs, and I'm sure Lars next week, because Lars was at the game and he is also a Spurs fan, will have lots of things we'll have to beep out.
Yeah, but Spurs is still the team in fourth. 32 played, 57 points.
Correct.
United is at 54 points with 32 games played, fifth place. They played today.
Yes, so Arsenal was playing Southampton at Southampton at the same time. United was hosting Norwich. Norwich, last place, barely score a goal to save their life, Norwich. And I'm trying to figure out the best way to tell this story. So Manchester United scored two goals to go up 2-0 at Old Trafford against Norwich.
Ronaldo,
after, by the way,
Ronaldo
Pukki,
goals.
After Pukki probably should have put them up 1-0 because when I saw the starting 11 this morning, Ralph did something that I thought was a recipe for disaster. He started an 11 that did not feature offensive-minded midfielder. It was a midfield three of Jesse Lingard, Bruno Fernandes, and Paul Pogba as the six.
Pogba playing in his natural position.
No, it is not his natural position.
His most natural position. That's an inside burn joke that maybe five people
get. Yes, that's right. Terrible, terrible. And sure enough, within a few minutes, Pukki breaks through and has an odd man rush, and only David De Gea saves their skin. Ronaldo then scores two goals, and it's like, oh, okay, this is all going to work out. And then the lack of a holding midfielder really showed as Norwich came back and scored right at the whistle at halftime. Mm-hmm. And then Pukki scored again to make it 2-2.
Yeah. And they were playing with confidence, too.
A David De Gea score, save off that one guy from a distance was – I mean – it was bad, and I'm just telling you, United is a disaster of a team.
But they have Cristiano Ronaldo.
Your
favorite player. And look, he hit two of his goals today. One was a tap-in, right? But the header.
That was all, Anthony, he won that ball
the
back.
The first goal.
First goal, yeah.
But the second goal, header.
Great
vintage,
header.
Vintage Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yep,
right?
Vintage Ronaldo.
And then the free kick.
And the free kick. Now, they were really giving Tim Krul a hard time about that, but I thought, man, Ronaldo hit that ball so hard.
Yeah, that thing's moving. Look, Ronaldo, I don't know what to say. I mean, he helps and hurts your team in equal ways. And to have Cristiano Ronaldo on your team and hurt you the way he does on the other end, he has to be scoring two or three goals a game, it seems like. So when he does, right?
What made it all the more difficult was that when halftime struck and it was 2-2 against Norwich at home, you look at the scoreboard and you see that Southampton had scored late in the first half to take a 1-0 lead over Arsenal, and you thought, Tottenham's already lost.
Yeah.
Arsenal is not playing well against Southampton, and this just feels like that game that Southampton comes back after losing 6-0 to Chelsea a week ago. But don't forget that. Yeah, Southampton has shipped like a billion goals in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And so you just feel like that's the game that Southampton's finally going to get their act together. Yeah. Right. And so now is not the time for Manchester United to blow it against the worst team in the league.
Well, they had Cristiano Ronaldo come through and save them.
Because, because Arsenal did end up losing that game 1-0. They had a lot of opportunity. Fraser Foster was out of his mind. Did you see the save he made early in the game against Saka? Saka has a goal. Like, the ball comes across really well played into the far post, and he, you know, he one-times it from close up, and Fraser Foster, who is a mountain of a human being, makes a bonker save to keep it 0-0. And it made some saves later on. I mean, Arsenal had their chances, but Arsenal's lack of a striker is is the story that's going to come back to haunt them, along with the injuries to Partey and Tierney are problems for them. But the Lacazette, who has been so weird this season. Aubameyang wasn't doing it for them.
Right. That whole debacle really has hurt them now, because now they have that hole, right?
They do. Yeah, they really need Lacazette to, or somebody to fill that role, and they're really struggling in that, in that place.
So where are we now? Okay, so we have Spurs.
Well, hold on, because I just want to make sure we state this. United did win the game. Right.
Oh, I thought they,
assumed. We just said, well, Cristiano scored a third. Okay. Norwich tried like the devil to score and tie a game up again.
Right.
And the most I mean, at one point, just to make this clear, United was playing Anthony Elanga as the right back in a back four.
Yeah, he's a good player.
Who started as the right winger, attacking winger.
No, I know.
And they held on by the their sea hairs.
Yeah.
3-2.
Ultimately, if you are one of these teams that we talked about, Spurs, United, Arsenal, and then West Ham, 3 points is all that matters. Pretty points, beautiful soccer points, doesn't matter, right? It's all about getting points, because everybody's dropping points. You have to be the team that finally ends up in that fourth spot because of what it means. And it's all really tight now. It's back to being very tight. And
it's
just going to continue.
It is. So between Spurs in fourth with 57 and down to West Ham in seventh, who, by the way, play tomorrow, as we said earlier, against Burnley, who fired their coach 24 hours ago
at
51.
They'll be at 54. They'll be tied.
They could. Yes. They'll be tied, and they'll have
a better goal.
But other teams will have games in hand on them at this point.
Not a lot, and we know what that means. So.
So it does make it very weird. Now, the other part of this story that I want to talk about is we're at that part of the Premier League season where you're playing teams that are on the beach. So Brighton really doesn't have all that much to play for. Southampton, you know, while they'd gotten their butt kicked a week ago, you know, they're on the beach. This is a classic deal. They're in the middle. They're not going to get relegated. They're not going to win anything. Mm-hmm. Does that make them harder to play versus a situation like United playing Norwich, who are, you know, trying to grasp whatever they can to see if they have any chance to save their season?
Does it make it harder to play them, a team on the beach?
Yes, because they're like, they have no pressure.
Well, there is pressure because there's monetary difference between
the players.
I'm kidding. It's a joke. Yeah.
That's business, Andy speaking.
No, because you also have players playing for spots or players playing for their own bonuses. You know, you're playing for your home fans.
Yeah. That'll be something to watch as
and
the season
goes on. And they're better
teams
than those teams that are at the bottom fighting, right?
Well,
they're still better teams.
At this point, all I know is at the end of this show this week, we will not do what we've done for the last several weeks and anoint a clear leader in the clubhouse for the Fruitcake Cup.
I have a hot sports opinion. We will not anoint the Fruitcake champion until the last week of the season.
Really?
You think it's going to be decided before then?
You have
four teams.
I don't know.
What are the odds that one runs away with it?
Did you notice that Antonio Conte was dressed like a Scooby-Doo villain today?
No.
Where
was he?
If you watch the clip of Trossard's game-winning goal in the 90th minute, they do a camera cut to Conte, on the sideline.
Oh yeah,
and
right.
He's in all black, but he's wearing like a I think he I thought it was a turtleneck, but I think it's one of those like
a scarf,
a snugglet or whatever they call the it's like a scarf
like a
you put around.
Yeah.
All wrapped around his neck. It's also black, and he takes the biggest anger chug of a final drink of water out of a box of water you could possibly, and then he crunches it and he throws it on the ground. Nobody gets angry like Antonio Conte.
That's a neat story.
By the way, Brentford won at the death.
And that was the other big story.
Did you see the goal at the death?
Well,
last play.
Did you see the miss?
No.
For Watford that
right before? How often does that happen? Huh?
I mean, ball bounces right outside the six. The guy is right there and he hits it way upright. Yeah, so when we at the end of the day today, here we are, everything kind of remains the same. Burnley is in 18th on 24, Watford at 22 at 19th, and Norwich loses again on 21. Everton may actually squeak this out, Sam, believe it or not.
Four points.
Hard to believe, honestly.
4 points. It was that big win, Sam.
It was that big win against my Manchester United last week that may have...
Did we talk about that, Sam?
We got a couple minutes here if we want to talk about it.
How Everton...
Go ahead. Run your
He's
smack.
He's so defeated with his Man United, but so are you with your Everton, so I don't know how to handle it. I don't know who to, like,
I mean,
push a little bit more about this.
One of us is trying to fight for our lives. Another one is trying to contain a legacy of greatness. I feel like you need to come over here to your fellow Liverpoolian.
What is worth more to the team, finishing in a Champions League spot or saving themselves from relegation? And I think it's saving themselves from relegation.
Yeah, because
there is more on the line for Everton. Yeah,
no way Frank Lampard banks this up.
$100 million.
Yep. You've got 4 points. You're even with Burnley on the number of games. You got a 4-point lead. There's no way they muck that.
Okay,
up
now you're doing the Andy Swift sandbag. I hear you over there. I see this play. I know
zero
what you're doing.
Shot. I think you know. You guys may even end up like ahead of Newcastle at 15th.
Okay.
By the time
see,
it's all
Andy.
Over.
Do you know? This is why when you do it, we get annoyed by it. Do you see? You understand now?
Yes, I understand.
And then my brain because
but I haven't
a bit
done
of a
that.
Drama
I haven't done Sam, I haven't done that in a while. I'm like Mr. Liverpool
Oh, hold on
optimism.
A second.
Oh, God.
By the way,
optimism.
So here he goes. Andy's favorite bit to run on me is the Ronaldo jab. So Ronaldo scores a goal and he's like, "You barely contain him. He's going to save you." And then he scores a second and then I get another text from Andy.
He's just a beauty to watch.
He's not gonna be here in
Ronaldo's
3 months.
So beautiful to watch.
The worst, absolutely the worst. All right, we will not predict a fruitcake cup winner as of this show. All right, Andy and I every year tell you the quarterfinals of the Champions League will rock your balls, and they did again this year, and we'll discuss that next here on the Kick Around. I feel like I'm reliving my Q102 days with the return music. It's quite excellent. So EA or Sam, whoever's doing this,
you're
kudos
welcome.
To you. All right. Welcome back to the Kick Around. We are filling in for Mike and Cash, who are full of pasta and nude Romanian women.
I should be following them on social, but man, if I do that, it's just going to make me want to be there right now.
It is pretty jealousy-inducing.
Yeah.
Yes. So we are on today until the end of the Mavs game when Monty and Mino will roll in and do the Mavs post-game show, however that turns out. I guess it's halftime over there. And we are brought to you by Soccer 90, and we are out here at the Corn Ferry Tour Veritex Bank Championship at Texas Rangers Golf Club here in Arlington. This is a really cool place, by the way. I'm not a golfer. I didn't know about this. But it seems to make sense that you would want to brand your golf course with some sort of other major sports thing. So this is kind of
which
a cool
is right
idea.
Here in town together
yes,
with you, right?
Yes. And there's a lot of people hanging out. By the way, very cool. We had to park in the parking lot with everybody else and take the shuttle over. And we had a nice moment when... Was it the wife or girlfriend? I didn't know that part.
Wife.
Was it his wife?
Yeah.
So this very nice young lady named Faith said, "Oh, my husband recognized you guys, but is too embarrassed to say hello." So she came over, and we got to meet Tom and Faith, and we wanted to thank them for going out of their way to say hello to us. That's always fun. You should always, if you're ever in public and you see a tier one host, specifically Gordo, they love it when the P1s come up and chat them up and
whip
them. So you should do that. You should absolutely do that.
What is Peter doing?
I'm being a good P1 facilitator.
By the way, all this week, all this week at Dallas Cup, tons of kick around P1s coming up and saying,
"Oh yeah, well you are you're
because I'm right in the middle of soccer."
No,
yes,
good. Right. Is there any kind of like Peter versus Andy?
Yeah, talk more, Peter less. No,
I could have predicted that. All right, I've said this 1,000 times. I'm going to repeat it again. Andy and I are proud of the fact that we are hardcore advocates of the quarterfinal round of the Champions League.
That stage.
That is always the best. It is the two legs that always promise the biggest, most fun results, and that did not fail us again as the second legs took place Tuesday and Wednesday of this week. Holy cow, it worked out because on Tuesday, we got two very different versions of drama, and we'll start off with the unexpected drama, which is Bayern Munich, the mighty German machine, getting knocked out in the quarterfinal round by Villarreal. Unai Emery's yellow submarine goes to Germany and gets the 1-1 draw, and they win on aggregate. Yeah. Unbelievable result.
Now, remember, we haven't had a show since they played the first leg either, so we're reviewing both legs now.
True.
I mean, which is part of the quarterfinals. It's a two-half. One half is one game. The second half is the other game. You picked Bayern, I think, to win it all. It was a good pick. Lots
sure.
of people did. I mean, it was, you know, one of the favorites. But Emery, you know his claim to fame, right, is winning Europa League all the time with smaller Spanish
True.
Clubs.
Yeah.
Sevilla, Valencia. But it's with Villarreal that now he's making waves in the Champions League. So that's something else for a club like Villarreal.
Yep.
To get to the semifinals, it's an incredible feat.
It has become a cliche thing to point out about the size of the town and the club and how they go about doing their business. But there are very few clubs internationally that run their business as well as Villarreal, and to get this result is a testament to how they go about doing their business. They're if you don't want to be a bandwagoner of one of these big clubs, they're the one to root for coming up in the semifinals.
Now, did you see that game or maybe the goal? Did Alphonso Davies? I think he played a part in keeping whoever scored for Villarreal onside.
I didn't know.
Yeah,
I didn't. And then the other one, oh my gosh, what drama. This was such good drama. And it started in the first leg because Karim Benzema, for me, pound for pound, dollar for dollar, is the best striker in the world. Oh. He's always at the end.
Superlatives like, much?
Well, I just think he is. I mean, he
like
just
the,
does
the
so
best,
many.
Best, truest nine, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, Lewandowski, Erling Haaland, you could talk about all these guys, but the guy that's been doing it at a very difficult league. I mean, Lewandowski does it in the Bundesliga, and I don't want to discount that. But for me, I'm taking Benzema. I've always thought he was fantastic.
Is he 36?
He's older, and man, he just the goals he scored in the first leg were fantastic.
Yeah. So that let's talk about that because they went to Chelsea in London.
Yes.
And they won that game 3-1. Right. So this is the beauty of the quarterfinals.
That header was ridiculous.
Yes, right.
The finish at the top of the box. Ridiculous.
But the beauty of the quarterfinals is this. So now you would think, okay, now they're going to go back home, up 3-1.
Right.
Right? They have this in the bag, and any mortal, mere mortal that doesn't follow Champions League would think, just write them in.
Why even bother watching?
Right. Just write them in.
Nope.
But no. It's a
credit to Tuchel.
Turnaround.
Credit to Tuchel. He played the right tactics. He put the right people out there, and they fought back. And man, did they ever turn that into a battle that is worth admiration? I mean, I'm not a Chelsea fan, but man, I admire the guts and guile they put into that game. I know they didn't win it.
Hold on.
Okay.
So, but they go up. They're up 3-0. They're up on the tie now. They are up 4-3. They are going to advance.
I hope this isn't terrible broadcasting because the wind is so awful.
We're in the elements, Pete.
All right. Does this sound terrible back on your end there at the studio, guys, because of the wind?
Not as bad as it could, but it's not, like, ideal.
Okay.
We're in the elements.
I was like, you're in a hurricane.
It's a hurricane out here. Hey, until Modric's the assist.
Gosh.
Let's just call it the assist.
man.
The assist.
I'm just saying, the outside of Modric's right is the boot I would lick.
But
That is just soccer sex 101 right there. That right-footed pass in stride, on the fly, little thought, right on the dime.
Yeah,
for the finish.
On the dime to leading the guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
In right. the box.
Yes.
Is
I am
that,
horny.
That is just. That does it. That is absolutely my favorite. And Modric does that all the time, and there's a lot of fun stories about how previous managers were really like, Luka, really, do you have to use the outside of your right that often? Are you sure this is the right? And then, of course, Zidane was the one who was like, oh, that is so beautiful. Please keep doing that. That's Mazan invitation,
okay.
by
all
the
right.
way. I think it's dead on.
Yeah.
And Modric, he scored a goal last year with the outside of his right from the top of the top of the box.
Stunner. So, you know, a lot of credit to Benzema, but Modric is a big part of this machine as well that just keeps rolling somehow in Champions League. Real Madrid, because we didn't think that highly of them. But it does go back to your favorite nine in the whole world who scores the game winner.
Yeah.
The tie winner also.
It did. Late. And he got away. I mean, it was classic number one. He tricked his mark into leaving him, and he backed off, and the chip got to him, and he just finished it off. So Chelsea ends up losing on aggregate. They win the game 3-2, but lose on aggregate 5-4. And then Liverpool finished off Benfica in a game 3-3 on Wednesday that was really more about just managing expectations
and
just trying to keep things.
Benfica made it interesting.
And recycling players. But we got to spend the rest of this time talking about the City Atletico Madrid game, because this is where I'm torn as a fan of this game, which is Simeone and Madrid and Atletico Madrid are, in many ways, they do everything differently. They're built for trying to destroy Barcelona and Real Madrid and defending their position. And they're nobody's better at parking the bus. And they're really good. They're the kings of what everybody loves to call S-housery. I'm going to call it sit-housery.
Uh-huh,
I'm going to remove a letter.
Sure. Uh-huh.
And to see Man City, of all the teams in the world, put the sit-housery back onto Atletico
and
the return leg on Wednesday was really some of the greatest soccer magic you could possibly imagine.
Yeah, so the scene there is that City wins at home. They beat Atletico 1-0, right, which is like the bare minimum, and Atletico Madrid is happy with this result because they feel like they can go back to Madrid and pull out a 1-0 win to send it maybe to extras or PKs. And City had to do a lot of defending, but there's a lot of criticism directed Atletico's way. But look, this is how they win. This is how they advance. This is how they win trophies. And they've done it, right?
Yeah,
so,
I mean, Savage is... Did you see the note that Savage did not have did not commit a foul in the entire game up until that moment at the end with Foden?
Yeah.
It was like ridiculous. I mean, Savage is like a Hanna-Barbera villain. He's just like a ridiculous human being of a person. And then that moment at the end... And I do think not enough has been talked about Phil Foden, of all people in the world, pulling out the dark arts to get fouled in that moment, right?
Yeah.
And then Philippe kicks out and gets the yellow card. But Foden is smart enough to kind of like roll himself back onto the field. And that fires off all of the fireworks.
Yeah.
It was such a ridiculous
scene. And Atletico getting mad at things that, you know.
But Andy, should we discourage Simeone and Atletico Madrid's antics, even if it's put on against them, or should we embrace it as just part of something that's different about the game and can make the game beautiful in its own way?
I think
when it
gets to be extreme, nobody likes to see it. But Atletico typically is not that. They're playing the best team in the world, so they went extreme.
Do you know they ended up with more shots than City over the course of the two legs?
Because in the second leg, it was it was role reversal. Now, how close did they come to scoring? I mean, did you see the last minute?
Yeah,
it was
really unusual.
But I'm with you. I don't know. I'm torn as well. I like the story, though. I like the little team that
here it is. And you'll think about this in the previous Champions League when Liverpool had to deal with Atletico and Simeone.
And they beat us.
And they beat you guys and knocked you out of the Champions League, and they were doing all of that stuff, right? Mm-hmm. They were parking the bus.
Yeah.
They were, you know, rolling on the ground, They were picking fights. They were wasting time. And I'm sure in that moment you thought they were the worst, most awful example of soccer in the world.
I'm going to be honest, and you're not going to believe me, but to me it's like you go in playing that team, you know that's part of the gig. And I guarantee you Klopp after that, I don't remember what he said. He says, we knew what we were facing, and it's up to us to overcome that and win the game.
Well, City, held, I mean, look, full credit to Pep and City for not getting goaded into all those things. There was all the scenes after the game in the tunnel that everybody talked about. City did what they had to do to go on to the next round, and so there we are. The semifinals are set.
We have Liverpool, Villarreal.
Yeah, Liverpool.
And City against
Madrid. I'm telling
you,
Liverpool is so set up to win the quad this year.
Come on. Now you're not. You're,
now, this
you
is what's interesting
jerk.
Here.
You
the English teams do not get the benefit of the second leg at home. They both have to play the opening game on the road, and then the second leg is in Madrid and Villarreal, respectively.
So they open at home, yeah, and visit.
That, yeah, yeah. And in these two-leg ties, you typically want, especially now that away goals are gone,
yeah,
you want to play that second yeah. leg at home, and the two English clubs are not going to get that opportunity.
Yeah.
But to your point, we could on May 28th see a Liverpool Man City final,
yeah.
which would be such a weird way, especially with them chasing the Premier League
yeah.
title.
Two English teams, two La Liga teams in the final four. No Bundesliga, no Serie A. Serie A has been on the decline for a while, but we talk about Bundesliga and what they're doing, how they're the few. And here we are again, same thing, EPL, La Liga. When it's all said and done.
All right. The lesson out of this segment is that when Peter and Andy tell you the quarterfinals of the Champions League is the best of all the best, you listen to us. All right? Write it down somewhere in a note for next year because we'll repeat it again next year. Don't disappoint us. All right. When we come back, welcome back to the Kick Around. We are out at the Corn Ferry Tour brought to you by Veritex Bank. Thank you for having us. And we're in a windstorm. We're in a wind tunnel. We're actually doing some wind testing on our new skin suits we're wearing. Trying to. Hello. There's Faith and Tom, who we met on the bus earlier. Thanks for stopping by, guys. Hey, I think on the phone we have our good friend from ThirdDegree.net, Buzz Carrick. Buzz, you there, bud?
Yeah, I'm here.
You're not in wind.
You're not in the wind. We are in the wind. And we had a small technical snafu over the break and thought all doom had broken loose. But nope, we're back just in time. Buzz, thanks for joining us. I wanted to just get and dive into what appears to be an unusually fun season for Football Club Dallas because let me put it this way, Andy. When a club decides to take the marketing tact of new, it's a new era, and that's their theme for a season, that's always code for you just hold tight. This is going to be a long season because we've hired a new coach and signed some new players, and it's a process, right? But it actually hasn't started that way, Buzz. The team is in like fourth or fifth place in the West. They've got this exciting new player in Alan Velasco, and things are looking and feeling really good.
Yeah, the in terms of getting results, the thing that's the most different is the solving what appears to be solving so far are the team's defensive woes from last year. Those have cleared up, and they've allowed the fewest goals in the Western Conference, and everybody knows that defense goes a long way towards winning games, and the real test will be if it translates into some road results, because that's where they have been incredibly deficient the last few years.
But how much, fixing the tactical issues is one thing, but how much of this turnaround, I guess you can call it, in the early going from what we saw last year is Nico, the new coach, and what he's doing, not just with those adjustments, but what he does in the locker room, his relationship with players. I mean, are you seeing some of that and that paying dividends already?
Yeah, anytime a coach gets fired, there's almost always going to be, some negatives in the locker room and some tune out. That certainly had happened towards the end of G. Gonzalez's tenure. And the new coach, so far, has everybody dialed in. The mentality is slightly different. The practices are run differently. There's a freshness to all of it. So far, the moves that he's making tactically and the moves they've made in personnel-wise have all worked out. So everybody feels really good, and things are building on top of each other, and the atmosphere is really positive and really upbeat, and everyone feels like things have gone the right direction and they're investing in this young offensive core. And everyone's excited about that. So that all translates to a positivity in the team. You know, is it all him? No, you got to give technical director some credit. You got to give some of the guys they brought in. Paul Ariola specifically deserves a lot of credit. But things are feeling good around that club right now. Everyone's happy.
Yeah, speaking about everybody feeling good is Jesus Ferreira, who has been playing as the number nine for this team and his ties to the national team and them qualifying for the World Cup. Jesus has been on a bit of a run here in the last few games for Dallas. He is working. He has really slotted himself as the probable starter. I mean, at this point, if the World Cup was to start in the next few weeks, Jesus is probably starting for the national team, right?
I would have to think so. He certainly is the one who's been producing the most lately, certainly for his club team. You know, he's benefiting from having a couple of dangerous players on his right and left. So you can't, as a defense, you can't focus on him. And his movement is terrific off ball. He's hard to keep up with. He's a smart IQ player. He takes advantage of space. And when you have Blasco on your left and you have Ariola on your right, two other guys that take advantage of space, the defense as a whole has to be aware of all of them and can't single on Jesus, and he's taking advantage of that.
Okay, so last night, I don't know where this video originated from. I just saw that he tweeted it. Alan Velasco is the young, the 19-year-old Argentine left winger that they paid bonkers money for. What was the amount, Buzz? $8 million, something like that?
Which is seven to eight, yeah.
Yeah, 7 to 8, which was a record for this club. He is a player of legit pedigree, and the video that he tweeted last night was a hype video of his time specifically with Dallas. And I don't know, like, again, I don't know who created it. I don't know if it was for him or a company that sponsors him or something. It did not appear to be originated from the club. It's a really, really good video, and it gets you really excited about this kid. And I, you know, I'm not in the business of selling tickets for FC Dallas, but if you're a fan of soccer and you don't really pay a lot of attention to Major League Soccer or Dallas, tell everybody why Alan Velasco in particular may be a reason to at least flip on the TV this afternoon when they play up in New York at 6 p.m. on Channel 21.
Yeah, he's one of the most highly rated players to come out of Argentina, you know, in the last year or two. You know, before the pandemic, his price was considerably higher than what Dallas paid to get him, according to most people. You know, and often when you buy a 19-year-old kid, you're like, is the hype really worth the dollar value? But then the minute we saw this kid in training, we realized that absolutely the hype is worth the dollar value because he stylistically plays similar to the way Messi plays. So if you enjoy that dynamic, running at people with the ball at his feet, making these passes, making these great moves, scoring goals, he has all of that. Now, of course, that's a silly comparison to talk about Messi, but the style is the same. The fun is the same. The hype is real. People get excited about this kid. There's been, I think for sure, an attendance bump has happened because of this kid. He attracts attention on the field. He attracts attention off the field. You know, it's just, it's a kind of signing that says to people that follow this team is more serious. They're taking a step forward. They're doing things they've never done before. It is indeed a new era, both on and off the field. And if you like soccer, it's exciting to have a player like this, a dynamic, game-changing player that's a joy to watch.
I think I just heard you say that he's the next Messi. Did you hear him say that?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's awesome that we have the next Messi.
Andy, he did not say
okay.
He is not the next Messi.
I was getting a little excited. We tend to, at the kick around, bring it back to one of our favorites, Paxton, who is, you know, behind the scenes, like, playing, but not, like, he's not getting the notoriety that the new guys are getting and Ferreira leading the team in scoring, but he's part of what they're doing so far. But the worry with Paxton is always his health injuries, right, with him?
Yeah, yeah.
What's the latest with Pax?
Well, you know, we're into the part of the season where everybody's got a little bit of a thing. And with Paxton, it's always sort of in the mid-core part of the body, you know, but he's so far playing through it. And I don't think it's enough, obviously, to take him out of games. Statistically, he's doing what he's supposed to be doing. He's creating play link from the back to the front. He's playing tenacious press defense. He's winning balls off of people. He's getting balls forward in progressive play. You know, the thing that I think will get Paxton noticed back in more of a national picture is to convert some of that a little bit more into goals and assists, more of an impact, even if it's creating, you know, key passes to create the goals and assists for the next guy. that little piece is missing still, but the move back to the middle has been great for him, you know, and if he can prove again that he can get through a whole season, because he got through last year without getting hurt majorly, so if he can do that again without another major injury, then people, I think, will start to pay more attention to him.
Yeah, the thing about Paxton and Velasco obviously helps make everything easier for the other guys, but one of the other growing stories about this team, and doesn't, I don't think, gets enough recognition, although it appears that most of the general media is starting to catch up, is the reality is that Dallas as a Major League Soccer team is fielding not one, not two, but three homegrown Dallas kids that are essentially running this team in the center of the field between Brandon Cervena, Paxton Pomacall, and Daniel Cirillo. And that is a significant thing happening up in Frisco, not just in terms of this club and what it means for its academy and selling players, but what it means for U.S. soccer and for Major League Soccer.
Yeah, you can even include Jesus Ferreira. Like, that diamond of four guys is all under the age of 22. You know, that those are the core of your team on the offensive, from the mid-table to the offensive end of the field, are all kids, and they're local kids, and they're young. You know, for the team to be building around them, we thought, okay, you're going to spend a season or two growing those guys in. Nope, those guys right away are performing at a really high level. You know, are we going to see them each take it to another step where they're going to be that good the whole season, or they're going to have that offensive playoff special moment impact that the Dallas needs to get over the next hurdle and deep into the playoffs? That remains to be seen, but to see those four guys effectively carrying the team and through the heart of the team is super exciting if you like soccer and you like local soccer.
Yeah, I was trying to explain this to somebody the other day that doesn't watch Major League Soccer, but they watch a lot of European soccer. And I said, well, what if, pick any team in the Premier League, had a midfield made up of kids from their academy? I mean, that would be of significant note, and that's what Dallas is pulling off, and I think that's a big deal.
Well, yeah, maybe not Premier League, but if you go to Holland or you go to Belgium, you might see some of that, right? With
sure.
Ajax and PSG, yeah.
Yeah.
Not PSG.
I mean, the example I would use, guys, is the famous Manchester United. It was the class of 82 when they had, like, the five guys come out of the academy 92. Together, and they built – 92, sorry. Yep. I was off by a decade. And they built the core of their team. It's the same idea. They have this
exactly.
young core of guys come out of their academy over the last – you know, a group from, like, 99 to 03 – a bunch of guys all came out, and those dudes are going to be the core of this franchise for a decade, probably. And that's an exciting thing. You hope that they get to the level of success of Manchester United, of course. But that's asking a lot. But, you know, it's going to be similar to that vibe in the sense of you guys from your backyard, the kids that you played against, if you played, you know, are going to be carrying this team forward.
So now how does this translate now to a long season in MLS? They're having success early on, but one worry that we've had about this particular team is that they do have a lot of talent, these starters, these 11 or top 13, 14 guys, but the depth is a little bit of a question mark, right? What happens, you know, what's going to be happening in July, August, September when we're heading into the playoffs because of the
That's
lack
a really
of
good question. Yeah. There's definitely a lack of a depth in midfield, although, you know, there's a young man here, Thomas Roberts, who could conceivably be coming back sometime this summer when his loan ends. But then, you know, there's probably a body missing in central midfield. You'd like to see somebody capable of starting 15 games so that Paxton and Brandon Cervena both don't have to go 34. You want to see somebody like Tafari Nkosi in the back play, you know, a good 10 to 12 starts so that Hedges or Martinez don't have to play every single game. You know, this coach is already very actively and very aggressively managing workload and minutes through training and games with substitutions. So it remains to be seen. It does get hot here, and there is a heavy load. The Open Cup is going to start this week. There's three games this week. So maybe we'll start to see some of that rotation, and we're going to learn from this guy. We're six games in. We don't know. We're going to learn what he's going to do.
Yeah, and the other thing that's interesting about this season is so far attendance is up. The atmosphere in the games has been really, really good. It's probably bolstered by the fact that the team is playing well and scoring goals. That always helps excite a crowd. But, Andy, I'm wondering if you are aware of the hot rumor that is running around that the front office has decided on a solution for how they're going to fill the empty north stage that used to be the beer garden. They moved all those supporters over into the southwest corner, and we've been plagued with this weird concrete stage as a kind of a car lot. Have you heard what, by all accounts, is the solution that they are coming up with how they're going to decorate the North Stage?
Free ice cream for everybody?
No. The word on the street is that they are having created a 30-foot-tall, That's three stories for those who are into such things. Like replica of the Football Club Dallas logo, the crest.
All right.
That will somehow be erected erected behind the north goal.
Is that Beavis and Butthead?
Now, that unto itself sounds pretty bitty, but what if I told you it would be replete with LED lighting?
Wow.
Smoke, and even maybe possibly fire.
So if that sounds, if they do that right, that could be pretty cool. It could be a thing.
Okay.
Right? That can be developed into a bit that is a thing.
Yes. This is where I'm all right, because there are things that are bits that are too bitty and they're kind of cringy.
Okay.
Right? Like, there's many examples of that. Buzz, where are you on this idea, on this concept? Are you in or out on this?
I am in on it as an idea, but as always, it's about execution, as Andy points out. You know, you can have a really good idea, and if you fumble the ball, it's not going to be any good. So if they do it correctly and they make it look good and operate well and be exciting, I think it could be fun. It certainly can't be worse than what they have now.
Which is nothing.
So, Peter, you have inside sources. When does this start?
We are hearing that it'll make its debut next weekend when Houston comes to town.
Oh, the Dynamo.
Now, I'm told that whatever it is may not be in its final form on day one. Like, they may add things to it as the season goes on. When Peter goes to bed and he gets down on his knees and does bedtime prayers, I'm praying for lasers coming out of the eyes.
Interesting.
How cool would that be if they score goals and like red and blue lasers go shooting all over the stadium from the
bull's eyes?
That would be kick ass.
Yeah.
And like a flame of a tower of fire comes out its mouth, like the old Dallas Burn horse on the logo.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Every time they score, this happens.
Yeah, before the game gets the hype going.
Right. Yeah.
Some crazy hip-hop, electric EDM music going on. And when they score, they play Disco Inferno.
Oh,
and, like, the light show, the lasers.
They're not going to play Disco Inferno.
They did at the end of the game the other day.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
That was a node to the past.
That is a great node to the past. All right. Buzz, sorry to chew up all your time with laser and smoke and fire
talk. It's all part of the entertainment, Peter. It's all part of the package.
Got to work on the atmosphere, right, Buzz?
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely. All right, Buzz, so tonight they play up at Red Bull Arena, actually against the Red Bull Bulls, not New York FC, who has to borrow their stadium on occasion. That game kicks off at what, at 6 tonight?
At least so. That sounds correct.
And do you have any predictions on a lineup or anything in particular about that game of note that you'd like to throw out there with your soccer smarts, sir?
Well, Nanu is questionable at right back. So, you know, I think there's a chance Ima Tuamasi will be in there. There is an Open Cup game on Tuesday, but that's not likely to affect this game, I wouldn't think. Maybe possibly one rotation, possibly. We're still trying to learn how this coach is going to do that kind of stuff. So I would expect a normal full lineup, with the possible exception of Nanu at right back with the questionable injury situation.
Okay. Well, that is the amazing Buzz Carrick, editor and founder of ThirdDegree.net. Go follow all his stuff. Go become a member of his Patreon and join us in his Discord account. That's always fun to do soccer talking over there. Thanks, Buzz. We love you, man.
Sure thing, guys. Anytime.
All right, when we come back, it has been a wild week of Dallas Cup and GA Cup action, and look how convenient it is. Somebody from the Dallas Cup named Andy is here, and we'll talk to him about that next here on The Kicker. Hey there, P1s. It is The Kick Around. We are still in awaiting the end of the Mavs playoff game. As soon as that is over, Monty and Mino will treat you to the post-game Maverick show. I said that in the wrong order. But until then, we will continue to talk soccer here on Sport Ticket. I'm Peter. He's Andy. By the way, I didn't do a good job of promoting what is coming up in the Premier League. Tomorrow, Newcastle is hosting Leicester. And then West Ham is hosting Burnley. And what academy coach is going to run that team for that day. But midweek, there actually are two really important games. Liverpool is hosting Manchester United.
What?
On
I didn't know
Tuesday
about this.
At 2 o'clock on USA. And on Wednesday, it is the London Derby, Chelsea and Arsenal.
Ooh,
that is a big game. between those two. And there's also three other games that day. Everton hosting Leicester, Newcastle hosting Palace, and Man City, after having Zach Steffen stuffed into a bag and thrown in the River Thames, is hosting Brighton.
So Liverpool had to play City twice. They've had to play two Champions League games.
Now they have to play
United also?
Oh, yeah, poor. You have to play United.
And Ronaldo.
Yes. And we are clearly in a wind tunnel here at the Corn Ferry Tour, brought to you by Veritex Bank. So thanks, sir, to those guys for having us out here. Now, we are now in the final stages of one of my favorite things that happens in the Dallas-Fort Worth area every year. It is Dallas Cup. We are so lucky as soccer fans to have the Dallas Cup here in Dallas. Well, actually all over the Dallas-Fort Worth area. The playoffs are starting today up in Frisco at Toyota Stadium.
The finals.
And, of course, Andy recently retired as the executive director of the Dallas Cup. But
this
still
is why I get to do the show today.
Very, very involved in the tournament. Yeah. And the GA Cup is going on at the same time. And one of the things I wanted to ask you about is that what makes this year unusual is that it appears that there seems to be some shifting between how teams attend one tournament over the other. Just to kind of set the table, the Dallas Cup is one tournament of a bunch of age groups from clubs all over the world, but the pandemic has kind of limited your availability.
Yeah.
The GA Cup is a tournament run by Major League Soccer, which is limited to the U-15s and U-17s and focused on Major League Soccer teams.
Right, their academies. And they a few years ago, and they came to Frisco to play that tournament maybe 5-6 years ago. We partnered with them. We helped them get established and helped with their refereeing and even helped recruit teams for them early on in the process. Training wheels are off. They're running a very fine tournament. The U-17 tournament, the GA Cup U-17 bracket, is very strong. They've brought in a lot of teams from abroad. And it's really great competition for the MLS academies and how they're developing players, too.
So. Okay. One of the other cool things that you were critical in adding last year were bringing girls back.
Yes, right.
To the and I mean a girls games.
Yeah, yeah, like girls brackets.
Andy brought on a bunch of dancers to the tournament. That's how it sounded said it. No, he brought girls age groups into the game, into the tournament last year, and they're back again this year.
Yeah.
By the way, the U-15 finals yesterday between FC Dallas and Solar featured a hat trick in the first half by Holly Stoller, which is the daughter of a teammate of mine on my Sunday League team, Wayne Storer.
Yeah.
Holly Storer is his daughter, and she's quite a baller, and she had
a hat trick
yesterday in the final, and they won that, I think, 3-0.
Yeah, so. I was able to watch it. And the level of and the talent that the girls show, and these were the finals, the best teams were playing, really, really high. But, you know, we've known that about U.S. soccer and the girls' game as relative to the rest of the world. It's ahead. But especially on the youth side. And for the Dallas Cup, starting the girls bracket was very important. We're about diversity and inclusion. And that's one of the things about Dallas Cup, too, is, you know, the GA Cup is a great under 17 for certain tournament for that age bracket. It's limited to MLS teams. They've expanded from that a little bit now. But Dallas Cup now for 42, 43 years has been given the opportunity to teams from all over the U.S., academy teams from all over the U.S., to compete against foreign competition, not just in one particular bracket. It's under 12 through under 19, all age groups, and particularly the super group is what really has set the Dallas Cup apart. And it's globally known as the best under 19 tournament in the world, if not one of the top three, if not the best.
Yeah.
And that's what really Dallas Cup is known for. And the pandemic, unfortunately, affected our ability to get teams this year. We don't have the kind of budgets that other tournaments have that are funded by corporate dollars or that are funded by leagues or federations. We are a non-for-profit. We have to kind of make our own way. Been able to do it for 42 years. We depend on the home state program, which is when families from the area house teams from abroad. We haven't been able to do that because of the pandemic, so that's affected our ability a little bit to get international teams. But it's a blip this one year. We were fortunate to be able to put it on with half the international teams, and we look forward to next year to continuing the tradition that we've had for four decades.
All right, quick interstitial, because we're waiting for the end of the Mavericks game to happen. We're going to continue to broadcast here, and when we do, for the next segment, Andy, I've made the executive decision we will take phone calls from the P1s. So 888-787-1310. Line them up, Sam. We'll go screenless if we have to. We'll do all this Ask Me Anything soccer talking or whatever anybody wants to ask. So 888-787-1310. So tomorrow is the final, or is it tonight the final for the Supergroup?
Supergroup is tomorrow at 4. It's the El Salvador under-20 national team against the Panama under-20 national team. You know what, with El Salvador, it's Hugo Perez that's taken over that program.
The great
Hugo Perez, who played for the U.S. national team and is now trying to rebuild their infrastructure. He's got a very good team. Panamanians are also really good. Great night last night for the semis. One thing I was thinking about, though, as I'm sitting in the referee seminar put on, this is a Dallas Cup tradition every year. CONCACAF, the English referees aren't here this year, but CONCACAF helps put this on. By the way, 25 FIFA referees will officiate this Dallas Cup, and it's one of the elements that keeps this tournament among the great tournaments in the world. But I was thinking about you sitting in this because you are a referee. You're a good ref, right?
And I haven't refed in yourself. I refereed for a long time, but I haven't.
And you
refed
house them. Yep, you know, you've taken in refs. Yep. But
love the laws of the game, Andy.
Yeah.
That's what you should.
Yes, you do. Yeah,
we should
right.
establish that.
You are a firm believer and proponent of the laws of the game.
Yes.
But in that seminar, we had Essie Bahamas. I don't know. He's getting inducted.
Really?
Yeah. He's a part of the Dallas Cup family. He's been coming for over 20 years. He's leading that seminar. For people that don't know, the most globally respected FIFA referee assessor there is in the world. And then also the man that refereed the final of the 2014 World Cup.
Oh.
And then Italian. And then also your friend, the Dallas...
Kalina is here?
No, not Kalina.
Oh.
He didn't do that. No,
okay.
The Italian ref that came after him. That
oh,
was that time. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But also the one that refereed the 2010 final and also did the Champions League. He was a guest on the show. Your friend Howard Webb was
there.
Oh, he's
back.
Yeah, he was helping with the seminar as well. Those are the kind of things that the Dallas Cup provides. It's not just you know, one age bracket that's really good. It's like the holistic event.
So real quick story. Howard Webb, if you watch any of the Premier League, was like the best English referee in the Premier League, you know, several years ago. He's the bald guy, and he ended up refereeing a World Cup final, and but several years later, he was here in the United States.
2015,
and was making an appearance, and then agreed to referee a Dallas Cup game.
Yeah, we asked him, if you want to referee, just let us know, and we'll stick, and it was like, no, through the week, and then once he got here, and he kind of like was...
Saw the scene, like,
he was like, you know what, I want a game.
So he brought his gear and he refereed a Dallas Cup game, and the stories of the kids that got to participate in that match,
right,
how excited they were that they were getting refereed by Howard Webb.
They didn't know he was refereeing the game until they lined up to do the procession and walk out on the field, and they look, and it's like an under-16 game, under-17 game.
Yeah. There's a great story about a kid who gets stuck in on a tackle.
Yeah.
And he got a photo of him being shown a yellow card by Howard Webb.
Yeah.
And I just think that would have been the coolest keepsake of all time.
He tweeted it, and it went viral.
It did.
Like, it's me getting yellowed by
There's some
Webb.
Kid that plays for Solar or something like that.
Yeah.
And he's 16, 15 years old.
Yeah.
And he's got a picture of him with Howard Webb with the yellow card out. And I'm hoping it's hanging over their mantle at their house or something. That's pretty great.
One thing I do want to bring up, because it's about Eintracht, and we didn't talk about Eintracht and what they did against Barcelona in the Europa
League.
Right?
That's right,
which did not.
Which
was insane. They beat Barcelona at the quarterfinals of Europa League. They're advancing to the semis.
And then there's the whole side story about the number of fans they traveled and the drama that created.
Right, exactly, because Barcelona fans were not happy with the amount of tickets that were sold to Eintracht fans at Nou Camp.
Right.
Which is crazy. And one of those fans is the sister of the academy director, or former academy director of Eintracht Frankfurt. He's been coming to the tournament for 20 years, a great friend of the tournament. He still comes with the team. By the way, the Eintracht Frankfurt boys just won the final this morning, 3-0 in the under-14 category. Great team. But they had an appearance at a school in the middle of the week. And this is another thing Dallas Cup provides. We go to schools, homeless shelters. We go to hospitals, children's hospitals, advocacy centers. A lot of the participants.
Scouting for players?
Yeah, get engaged in the community because it's part of professional development.
Sure.
This is something Dallas Cup provides that other tournaments don't provide, and it's part of the holistic experience. But they had an appearance at a school in Pleasant Grove, a school in
the great Steve Davis was in part of this, too.
His Pleasant Grove Sports and Soccer, non-for-profit that he runs that helps support these areas. So the clinic was for 10 to 12-year-olds. It was run by the Eintracht Frankfurt. You would think the coaches of this under-14 team. No, they had the 14-year-olds run the clinic.
Oh, that's cool.
And it was great.
I bet.
The players took it seriously. They were very professional about it. And for them, that is professional development as well, not just what they're doing on the field. And
yeah.
That's what Dallas Cup brings and is all about.
Yes, Dallas Cup is my favorite thing in the spring. I love it. And kudos to you, Andy, and all the people at the Dallas Cup for another successful tournament. That is good stuff. All right, so, Sam, where are we on time? Let's talk this out live on the radio. Let's do some real-time radio programming here, sir.
Well, we've got about 5 minutes and change to go here in the fourth quarter, so probably the best idea if we want to
Which means there's 35 minutes of real life about to happen, right?
Probably. So let tell you what, let's do this. Let's take a break, let's come back, and then let's take some calls and have some fun. How about
that? Do we have any lined up yet?
No, not yet, so give out the number.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we want you to call, P1s. I don't care. You don't have to call. You can ask us questions about nothing we know about. We'll have fun with it.
Please don't do that.
888-787-1310. 888-787-1310. #1310. I don't even know if that works anymore.
It does not.
So call the number. We'll do calls next, and we'll do that here on the Kick Around. So, Andy, it appears this is going exactly as I predicted when I was asked, hey, Kick Around, you want to fill in for the Saroys and then just keep going until the Mavs game are over? And I immediately said, that is totally going to overtime. And here we are. We are so close to having to do another hour of soccer talking, but that's okay. By the way, we're going to help kill time by taking phone calls. So 888-787-1310, 888-787-1310. But this actually benefits Andy and I well, because for a while we have been without an official board op. Josh quit the ticket to go teach kids at the middle school level several weeks ago. Was it beginning of the year? Did he leave after right around the holidays? Is that what it was?
Yeah, right before, I think.
Andy really pissed him off ran him off. And
I'm a big Burnley
fan. And so he quit, and we had to find a new board up. And so, you know, they kind of filter in and out. Well, EA is now officially – I'm just making it official. EA, you are now the official board operator of the Kick Around.
Aw, thanks, guys.
You're welcome, even though you've been doing it now for many weeks. But with that comes the opportunity for you to establish your allegiance with clubs in the leagues that we talk about. And one of the things I was surprised to find out is you have none, correct?
Yes, that is true.
All right. Do you even watch soccer?
I mean, I'm into it. My cousin loves soccer, and I'm Middle Eastern descent, so all my family loves soccer. I just never got into it, but I appreciate the beautiful game.
Are you Persian?
I am Afghan.
Oh,
I'm not sure you can ask him that.
Why not?
I think that's an HR violation.
Is it?
It's okay. There's no worries.
You're from. But there's a great Afghan restaurant in Dallas. I don't know if you've been, but we'll talk about it one day if we ever do an eat around.
Well,
maybe in 15 minutes.
This goes to overtime. We may be doing that.
Because it's delicious food.
All right. So, EA, as you know, on the website, thekickaround.com, we feature a section where we help people who don't want to properly find clubs, which is just watch all the content you possibly can and let a club find you. We speed that up through the Supreme Wheel of Allegiance. In fact, we have an official sounder for that, EA. Would you play that, please?
Supreme Wheel of Allegiance.
And it's on the website, and we provide you a wheel for the Premier League, the Bundesliga from Germany, and from Serie A of Italy. And they're always updated at the beginning of every season. So, EA, we are now going to spin the wheel. The Premier League. Here we go. Round and round it goes. Which club will EA be allotted?
No.
EA. You have picked the very controversial Chelsea.
Yes.
Wow.
Is your club for the Premier League. Chelsea now has a new P1 in EA.
Let's go, Chelsea. Man. Now, this is awkward. That is the name of my ex-girlfriend.
Oh,
so.
Wow.
The wheel knew that. The wheel knew that.
The wheel knows this.
The wheel knows.
Shout out Chelsea
Supreme. Why is she your ex, I should ask?
I did some stupid things my senior year.
Oh.
Well, the wheel wants to make that up to you.
Did you cheat on Chelsea?
No, actually, it was quite opposite. I said, I love you a little too quick.
Oh, no, that's even worse.
Sorry, bud.
Yeah. And now it's your club.
No.
Oh. Will EA go out and get a Christian Pulisic Chelsea jersey ASAP?
Don't do that. He's going to get sold. Don't do that.
Okay, I'm going to have Sam tell me what. When?
No,
when
not to, Sam.
What's wrong with Sam?
Yeah, what's wrong with
Sam?
Sam will steer you the wrong way.
You know, the last board up, he got Burnley, by the way. He gets to watch.
It's a pretty big upgrade. Next,
yeah.
Okay. That's hilarious. Right. Wait, I want to learn more about EA's failed love life
with
Chelsea.
No, let's not. Let's not. Let's just move on to either more wheel spins or calls. Either one, I think, is the best idea.
Did you cry a lot?
Oh, I was pretty
good
upset.
God.
Yeah. Dude, we've all been there. Well, maybe not Andy, but we've all been there. Totally. We get it. That's awesome. I love it. You got Chelsea, and that's your ex-girlfriend's name. I love it. All right. Let us spin the supreme wheel of allegiance for the Bundesliga. Here we go. Round and round it goes. Where it stops, nobody knows. For the Bundesliga in Germany, EA will now be a fan of... EA, we have this in common.
What's that?
Red Bull Leipzig is now our club. You and I are on the same team.
Woohoo!
I think Josh is also a Leipzig fan as well.
Well, we don't... Josh who?
The person that used to do EA's job.
Josh doesn't exist anymore, okay?
I thought he passed away.
Well, he was. He's in spirit now. He watches from heaven.
He's dead.
Okay. I think.
So corporate. Yeah. Such a, like, bland brand in soccer.
You'll have to...
Eintracht.
You'll have to drink the energy drink Red Bull all the time now.
Do we have one?
I'm down. I'm down for it.
Now, this is the most important of all the three because this is about food. And this comes down to spinning the supreme wheel of allegiance for Serie A. Let's spin the wheel, please. Here it goes. Round and round it goes. Where it stops, only the supreme wheel knows. This is a good one, EA. You get to get a Zlatan jersey because you now are a supporter of AC Milan.
Historic. Yeah. That's the top of the table right now.
I love Ibrahimovic. I love using him in FIFA.
He's a front runner. You're a front runner now.
How did you get the three teams you got? This is wrong.
Milan
I'm a
and
lucky
Chelsea.
Man. Ibrahimovic. That's the song I would sing when I'd scored with him.
Can you save that for us?
Yes.
Yeah, save that drop. That's now official ticket drop, the EA singing Ibrahimovic chant. That's good stuff. All right, so now EA is a fan of Chelsea, his ex-girlfriend from high school, his high school sweetheart, RB Leipzig from the Bundesliga, and AC Milan. Congratulations, EA. You're an official football fan.
Don't we have to spin for Sam as well? Sam, is there a league you don't?
There is, and especially since we're running down the Mavericks game here, it's probably better than taking calls. But, yes, I am still lacking a Bundesliga team.
Okay. Can I spin this one?
Okay.
I would love you to.
Let's play the official.
I want to get the Everton of...
I want to repeat the special lead-in drop, please, EA.
Supreme Wheels of Allegiance.
Spin that thing. Here we go. The wheel is spinning. Round and round it goes. The official wheel is spinning. Sam. Oh, my God.
Sam.
Andy, tell Sam his new club.
Oh, no.
I'm not sure I know how to pronounce this.
Oh, crap.
It's a club.
I don't know if I've ever heard of this club. VFL Bochum?
Bochum.
Bochum.
Okay. That's a mid-table
club.
What do you know?
You don't know anything about it.
I know that they're 12th in the Bundesliga right now, but they
oh boy,
and they've lost through their last five. So this seems very appropriate, actually.
Are they as good as Union Berlin?
No, Union Berlin's four places, but they are blue and white. So it teams my cursing of blue and white mid table teams is continuing.
Too bad you didn't get Eintracht because I could have had so much swag for you. Through my,
I'll still take it. I'll still take it.
No,
I'll be a trader and take it. I like free stuff
anymore.
I played the goal for you in the pre-show. Like, come on.
Now, just to be clear for the P1 or anybody just tuning in and having like giant question marks over their head, Thekickaround.com is our website, and this wheel, the Supreme Wheel of Allegiance, is found on there. There's a section called Find a Club, and this is where we put this for people who are eagerly trying to skip a step in not having to watch games and let a club find them, which is the best way to do it. So you can find that over on our website, thekickaround.com. It appears the basketball game is nigh over. Is that true?
We have like 17 seconds left as they're going to commercial.
Okay, so that means there's 37 minutes left in the game. Before we actually
no,
end
there's not.
We might have time for a phone call or two at this point. We got.
Do we have any callers lined up?
We have two callers right now.
All right, let's do that real quick. Who's first?
All right, Harold in Corinth on line one. You are on the Kick Around.
Hey, Harold on Corinth. Corinth, how are you? Welcome to the Kick Around.
Great. Thanks for having me on.
Welcome to the wind tunnel. Thanks for sticking out on this.
Yeah. Anytime. Hey, quick question for you. American players that are playing in Europe, whether it's Premier League or otherwise, how are they viewed over there? Are they thought of lesser players at all?
Okay, that's a great question. And I think generally, yes, there is an inherent anti-bias of the American player. I think Pulisic's a great example of this, where I think people's initial... I think if you're not American, I think there's a level of suspicion as to their quality, and it's up to the American to kind of prove themselves. Pulisic is an interesting case because I think if you were to compare Pulisic's time with Chelsea as compared to Mohamed Salah or Kevin De Bruyne in the time, because people forget those guys started their Premier right. League time at Chelsea, he measures pretty nicely against those guys.
Yeah.
But because he's American, I think people tend to think of them differently.
Yeah, now it's getting better, I think.
It
and
is.
Especially what's happened in Germany. I think the Premier League is, you know, the English fans, how they view American players is one thing. I think there's a little bit more respect now in Germany for American players and what is being done in Italy with some American players. I think it's changing, but it's like in the NBA when we got foreign players
yeah.
a long time ago, they were kind of viewed with... Dirk, when Dirk came, you know, tall German kid. What's he going to do? You know, when you prove yourself,
yeah.
I think the respect.
Yeah, Weston McKennie, yeah. Tyler Adams, all those guys. It all varies depending on the player and the club that they're playing at. And ultimately,
McKennie
the
McKennie is
the
beloved in Italy.
Yeah, Weston yeah. is loved at Juventus. The Germans in the Bundesliga love Tyler Adams. They think very highly of him. But then you've got Ricardo Pepi, who's a kid that got sold for $20 million and is yet to score a goal. So everybody's like... What did we do wrong there? So, I don't know. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, it sure did. And much like EA, I am a Chelsea supporter myself. So, welcome right. to the club, buddy.
Did your high school sweetheart named Chelsea also break your heart, too?
No, she did not.
Okay. All right. Did you marry your high school sweetheart?
No.
Okay.
That was
probably a bad touchy ground. All right. Well, thank you for listening to the Kick Around and calling in, sir. We appreciate you. All right.
You bet. Y'all have a good
one. Next up on the – do we have any more? Oh, game over. Get out when we can. All right. The game is over. The Jazz have won 99-93. No more phone calls. No more kick around. We want to thank everybody for helping out today. We had Bryant and Raymond running and doing all the engineering, and Lawrence and Ashley helping out with promotions, and EA, Sam, and Jacob back in the control room. We love you guys. P1s, we love and adore you. Go on, get out there, get stuck in, and win your 50s.